Mesachs Wochen per Yud Mishnah Chesn till per Yud Anuf Mishnah Gimel. Omar Rabbi Shimon said Rabbi Shimon, Im Ra'isa Shemen Shum Mischalik Bo Azara. If you saw oil which is being distributed and given out in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash to Koyanim, Eina Tatzorich Lishol Mahu, you do not need to ask what is that oil. Because there's only two times where the Kohanim would receive oil by itself as a part of the things which Kohanim would receive from Karbanos. Ella, except the only times they would receive oil is if it was Moisa Rekikem Minchais Yisrael, the remainder of the Rekikem of the flour offering of a regular person, of a regular Jew. There are different types of flour offerings which one is able to bring. One of them is a voluntary korban mincha, which they would make they would turn the flour into either loaves of bread or rekikim, which were much thinner than the loaves. And the loaves were, the flour was mixed together with all of the oil, whereas the rekikim, the oil was not mixed together with all of the flour. Rather, some oil would be smeared on top of these rekikim, these thinner loaves, and the remaining oil, which wasn't needed, was given to the kohanim. So that's what the Mishnah is referring to over here, the remaining oil from the rekikim of a korban mincha, a flour offering which somebody volunteered. Or the only other time where a kohen would receive oil by itself is v'loig shemen shel metzora, the remainder of the loig. A loig is a measurement of liquid. The remainder of the loig of oil of a metzora, when a metzora, who is somebody who had tzara'as and he became tomei, impure as a result of the tzara'as spots which he had on his body, and he needs to go through a whole purification process, after which he brings three karbanos. And part of the process of him bringing the karbanos is that he brings oil. Some of that oil is sprinkled towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, towards the innermost part of the Beis HaMikdash, and part of the oil is smeared on the Metzora himself, and the remaining oil, which wasn't needed for that, was given to the Kohanim. That's the only two times where a Kohen would receive oil by itself. Continues Rabbi Shimon, Im Ra'isa Shemen Shiros Nagabi O'ishim, if you saw oil which was being put on the fire of the Mizbeach, then there too, Eina Tzorich Lishol Mahu, you don't need to ask what it is, where the oil came from. Because once again, it's only one of two things, Ela Moisa Rekikim Minchas Koyanim, it's either the remaining part of the oil from the Rekikim of a flour offering which a Koyen volunteered. The law is that if a Koyen brings a Korban Mincha flour offering, then it is totally burnt on the Mizbeach. The loaves are not eaten, and likewise, the oil which is smeared on the Korban Mincha obviously is burnt together with it, and the remaining part of the oil is also burnt on the Mizbeach. As well as that, Minchas Kohen HaMashiach, the flour offering which is brought by the Kohen Gadol every day, he would bring half of this Korban Mincha in the morning and half of it in the afternoon. This was known as the Minchas Chavitin, and there was a very large amount of oil which he would bring together with it, three loig of oil, which is a very large amount of oil, and the remaining part of that oil which wasn't mixed with the flour, he would burn on the Mizbeach by itself. Now, what exactly is Rabbi Shimon coming to tell us with all of this? The answer is, She'ein Misnadvid Shemen, this is really the point of Rabbi Shimon, that he holds that one is not able to voluntarily give a offering of oil by itself. We don't find that the Torah allows one to do that. Only as part of other korbanos where the Torah prescribes it, that is when one would bring oil. However, Rabbi Tarfon says, Misnadvid Shemen, one is able to voluntarily bring an offering of oil by itself, even if it's not coming to accompany an offering of flour. And therefore, if you see, the way we're going to understand, although it's up to debate in the Gemara, we're going to understand that therefore, if you see oil being poured on the Mizbeach, then you can no longer be sure it's one of the two things mentioned previously in the Mishnah, because it could be that it is oil which was offered by a Kohen as a voluntary offering by itself. And if you see oil being given to Kohanim, it could also be the remaining part of oil offered by a regular Jew who is not a Kohen, that only part of the oil which he would bring would be poured on the Mizbeach, and the remainder given to Kohanim. The main point of the Mishnah is to bring that argument whether one is able to donate oil by itself. Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. The first half of this perek discusses a unique law which the Torah states regarding specifically a korban chatos. And that is that if any part of the blood of a korban chatos spills onto a item of clothing, that item of clothing needs to be cleaned of the blood inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah says, "V'asher yazem idomo al habeged." If any part of the blood is sprinkled onto the item of clothing, "Asher yazeh oleho t'chabes v'makom kodesh." The item onto which the blood was sprinkled needs to be washed in a holy place. And that's referring to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The remainder of the perek will also discuss other unique laws regarding a korban chatos. But for now, the perek opens up, dam chatos shenitazal beged, the blood of korban chatos, which spilled partly, it was sprinkled. Any part of it landed on an item of clothing, harizaton kibus. That item of clothing requires washing. And when we say washing, it means washing inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, specifically as the Torah prescribes. Now, there are two different types of korban chatos. One is a korban chatos which is offered on the inner mizbeach. Part of the korban is burnt on the mizbeach in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the heichal, and the remaining parts of that animal are burnt outside the Beis HaMikdash. Another regular type of korban chatos, the more common korban chatos, is offered on the mizbeach in the courtyard. The emurim, part of the korban is burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest of it is eaten. The Torah, when it talks about this idea of the blood going onto an item of clothing, is stated regarding the second type of korban chatos, the korban chatos which is eaten, and whose process is done on the outer mizbeach in the courtyard. However, the Mishnah says, "Afal pish ani kozum medaber el b'nei echolos," even though the pasuk is only talking about a korban chatos which is eaten, and that's the korban chatos whose blood and parts of it are offered up on the mizbeach, which stood in the courtyard. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "V'makom kodesh te'ochel." The pasuk in that same part of the Torah says that it needs to be eaten in a holy place within the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that we're talking about a korban chatos which is eaten. Nevertheless, echod ha-ne'echeles echod ha-penimis, both the type of korban chatos which is eaten, as well as the korban chatos which is offered on the inner mizbeach in the heichal, in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, to unois kibus, have a requirement of washing, meaning if any of the blood of either types of korban chatos lands on an item of clothing, then that would require washing inside the courtyard. Shenema, as the pasuk says, when talking about this requirement of washing the blood off, Torah Sachatos. The Torah introduces this law saying that Zois Torah Sachatos, this is the law of the Korban Chatos. It's as if the Torah is talking about one type of Korban Chatos. It is equating all of the different types of Korban Chatos, both types, to one. We learn from there that Torah Achas Acholah Chatos, there is one law for all of the types of Chatos, and that this requirement to wash off the blood in the courtyard applies to the blood of both types of korban chatos. Mishnah Beis, it is learned from Psukim that only the blood of a valid korban chatos, where the blood is valid and ready to be thrown onto the mizbeach, only that blood comes under this law that if it goes onto an item of clothing, it needs to be washed off within the courtyard. And therefore, chatos pasula, an invalid korban chatos, ein domo ta'on kibus, its blood does not have the requirement of kibbus, of washing it off the item of clothing. Bein shoher lo sha'as ha-kosher. Whether the blood of the korban chatos was once valid, just that the korban became invalid, bein shoher lo sha'as ha-kosher, or whether the korban was never valid, either way, it's all dependent on right now. Right now, is the korban valid or not? If it is not valid, then even if it was valid at some point, nevertheless, the blood will not have the requirement of washing. What is an example of a korban which had a time that it was valid, it just became invalidated? For example, shelona, if it was left overnight, shenitma, it became tomei v'sheyotza, or it left the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The point of the Mishnah is to show that we're talking about something which had a time to be valid for throwing onto the mizbeach, where we had already slaughtered the animal, and we had received the blood, and the blood was ready to be thrown onto the Mizbeach, and after that it became invalid. Even though it became invalid at a very late stage, and it reached a point where it was fit to be thrown onto the Mizbeach, nevertheless, since right now that blood has become invalidated, it would not cause a requirement of washing. What is an example of blood which was never valid for throwing onto the Mizbeach? and therefore all the more so there would not be a requirement of washing if that blood landed on an item of clothing. For example, shenishchat chutz lizmana, if it was slaughtered with an intention of continuing the procedure beyond its time limit, or v'chutzim koima, beyond its area limit, so the korban became pigul, or it just became invalid, v'shekiblu pasulin, or if the receiving of the blood was performed by somebody who is invalid, meaning he's not a regular male koyein, v'zorkus doma, the truth is, Rashi and the Bar Tanura get rid of the word v'zorku over here, and that's how we're going to read the Mishnah, so it should really say v'shekiblu pasulin es doma, that it became invalid due to an invalid person receiving the blood. In these cases, where the blood never even reached a stage where it was valid to be thrown onto the Mizbeach, all the more so, it would not have the requirement of washing, and the Mishnah is coming to tell us that even if it did reach a stage where the blood was considered to be totally valid blood, and so at that point, if the blood would have landed on an item of clothing, then there would have been a requirement to wash it inside the courtyard. However, since that blood became invalid first, and only then it landed on an item of clothing, in such a case, there would not be a requirement of washing it within the courtyard. Mishnah Gimel, this Mishnah continues to elaborate on this condition that the requirement to wash the blood off of the item of clothing within the courtyard, that only applies if the blood which was ready and fit for throwing onto the Mizbeach. Now, blood can only be thrown onto the Mizbeach once it has been sanctified in a klishores, in a utensil which is designated for the service in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's necessary for the blood to be received after the animal has been slaughtered, it's necessary for the blood to be received in a utensil, and at that stage the blood becomes fit for throwing onto the Mizbeach. So if the blood is sprinkled, it lands on an item of clothing, between the time that it was received in a utensil and the time that it was thrown onto the Mizbeach, that is the blood which we are talking about, which has a requirement of washing. It therefore follows that nitaz min hatzavar, if the blood of the korban chatos squirted out of the neck of the animal, al habeged, and it landed on an item of clothing, ein eta on kibus, it does not require washing within the courtyard. Min hakeren, if the blood bounced off the keren, the horn of the Mizbeach, the four corners at the top, min hayisoid, or if the blood bounced off the base of the Mizbeach, this is once the blood has already been applied to the Mizbeach. So once again, einu ta'un kibus, that item of clothing would not have the requirement of being washed within the courtyard. Nishbach alo ritzpo v'asofoi, if the blood spilled from the animal's neck onto the floor of the courtyard, and then the koyein gathered up that blood and put it into a utensil, that blood is not valid for throwing onto the Mizbeach, and therefore in a ton kibbus, it would not have the requirement of washing in this particular way. Ein ton kibbus elo hadom sheniskabel bakli, only blood which has been received in a utensil, in a kli shoreis, only that blood has the requirement of washing, and v'ro'i lahazoya, it has to be blood which is fit and ready to be thrown onto the Mizbeach. The Gemara explains that the Mishnah is coming to include a case, or really to exclude a case, where not enough blood was received in the utensil. There's a minimum amount of blood which needs to be received for it to be valid for the throwing onto the Mizbeach. If less than that amount of blood was received in this klishores, in this utensil, since, once again, this is not valid by itself to be used for the throwing onto the Mizbeach, if that blood landed on an item of clothing, it would not need to be washed in the courtyard. Now, although the Torah talks about a case where the blood lands on an item of clothing, we learn from the Pesukim that the same would apply if it lands on a different item, as long as it is similar to a item of clothing. In what way does it need to be similar? It needs to be similar in that it is fit to become tomei. The law is that other than a person or food, objects can only become tomei, impure, if they have the status of a utensil that they're designated for a particular use, and they've been shaped and produced for that use. An item of clothing certainly comes under that category. Now, there are certain items which are not generally used in the state that they are in right now. However, some people do use the item like that. And in such a case, it would only gain the ability to become tomei, impure, if the person who owns that item has the intention and he designates that item to be used in the way that it is in right now, in that same state, without needing to change it into something else. So the Mishnah says, Nitaz al ha'or, if the blood ends up, it lands, it gets sprinkled on a animal's hide. Actually, hufshat, if it's before the animal's hide has been taken off of the animal, in the state that the hide is in right now, nobody can really use it. It has no purpose in the way that it is right now, and therefore it cannot become tomei, and therefore it's not considered to be similar to an item of clothing. It's true that the laws of impurity have absolutely nothing to do with this law of the blood landing on an item of clothing and needing to be washed. They're not related to each other. The only reason why we're talking about becoming impure is because the Torah talks about the blood landing on an item of clothing. And we learn from there that this whole law of washing the blood off applies only to something which is similar to an item of clothing. In what way does it need to be similar? It needs to be similar in that it also is able to become tamei. Now what about the skin, which the hide of an animal, mishahufshat, once it has been taken off of the animal, but it hasn't really been processed into anything else, so most people don't really use it like that. However, if the owner would designate it for use in the state that it is in right now, then it would be able to become tamei. So potentially, it can become tamei even in this state. So the question is this considered similar enough to an item of clothing or not? Ta'on kibbutz divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This would require washing in the courtyard, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Since it can potentially become tamei, it's considered to be similar to an item of clothing. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer af mishahufshat, eino ta'on kibbutz. However, Eliezer says that even once this hide has been taken off of the animal, it does not require washing of the blood, since it is not able to become tomei unless somebody designates it, whereas an item of clothing can become tomei even without somebody designating it for a particular use, because it's already, that's how people use it. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is not considered to be similar enough to an item of clothing, and therefore it would not come under what the Torah is talking about when something requires washing. Now the Mishnah ends off, Eino ta'on kibbutz ela makom hadom. Only the area of the item of clothing or whatever the item is, which has blood on it, needs to be washed. You don't need to wash the entire item, only that which has the blood on it. And it has to be something which is fitting to become tomei, like we explained. And it also has to be something which you're able to wash. It's not something like a wooden item, but it is something which it's applicable to wash. If all of those conditions are met, then the Torah's requirement would apply.